My name is Dave Evans. We're going to be talking about building God's vision through strategic planning. So these are some recommended methods and tools, and I'm using this term to plan for a divinely inspired future state. As Merle shared earlier, I've spent 40 years in nonprofit leadership for a lot of that time at the vice presidential and presidential level in World Vision, Food for the Hungry, LifeNet, Mennonite Central Committee, other organizations. So I've done a lot of strategic planning, and I'll share a little bit about that with you. But the first thing we're going to do is just discuss quickly with your neighbors. So you're going to turn to someone who's next to you. If they're three in a row, maybe you turn to each other. Share with the person next to you about your most recent experience planning an activity or a project. How did you plan it? Did you include God in your planning process? And how did the plan work out? So go ahead and do that really quickly, if you will. Thanks. All right. So you might just be starting to talk. And if you did, I'm so sorry. But that was just an icebreaker. We've lost a little bit of time setting up here. So that was just to get you in starting to talk to each other. So any quick feedback from one person? Did anybody include God in their planning process recently? Yes. Wow, okay, awesome, good. And how did the plans work out? Anybody have good results? Still waiting, okay, excellent, good. So my background is 40 years working in international development NGOs. Susan and I are almost 2 years in Dove now, so we feel super happy and privileged to be part of Dove. And one of the things early on was I met with Merle and other leaders in Newport and Dove International. I said, hey, here's my background. And Merle said, oh, we're excited. We want to get you involved in what Dove's doing. So I'm also helping Ephraim with some project planning for his vocational school. Hopefully we'll get some funding, although without USAID, we're not sure now. But anyway, we're looking for other resources. So there's a number of ways in which I'm hopeful to be helpful to y'all and to all of us in Dove. So 25 years involved in strategic planning process. I've led 12 distinct strategic planning processes in 4 different organizations. And not all of them have worked out super well. The process usually goes well, and the plan, I can say for all 12, we came up with plans. The hard part is implementing it. As you can imagine, most people get to the finish line. They think it's a finish line, right, for the plan. And you get to the finish line, they're like, oh, I'm so exhausted. And then they forget they need to implement. But if you implement well, it also works well. So real questions, just show of hands. Should we actively plan for a specific future state for our organization? If you think that's yes, okay, good. Should we ask the Lord to lead and direct us where he may? Are they mutually exclusive? No. So should we do both of these things together? All right, good. So those are a bit rhetorical, but hopefully you're all on board because that's what I'm going to present on. Worship session objectives. That's hilarious. I don't know where I got worship session from. We're worshiping the Lord in strategic planning today, people. Be convinced of the need to, so here's what you should get out of this time. You should be convinced of the need to engage in divinely inspired strategic planning in your own lives and in your leadership in Dove. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you should become acquainted with methods and tools to achieve this. Number three is you should practice the use of some of these methods and tools. So I'm speaking quickly so we can get to the practice. And you should begin to think about your roles and responsibilities in the upcoming Dove International Strategic Planning process. I'm not going to talk about too much about that because Merle will be rolling this out across Dove. But tomorrow, for those in the Apostolic Council meeting, we're going to be going through step one of this, which you'll see very quickly here in a second. I want to present the case for strategic planning. How much do you think God planned for when he created the cosmos? Everything, I heard. A few things? Do you think he sort of got into it and then he figured out how to work it out after that? We're not really sure. The scriptures don't tell us, but if you look at the amazing, just look at the physical world itself and know the mathematical formulas behind the physics of this world, There's no way it could happen like the evolutionists say it happened. What do they say? They say it randomly came into being, right? So there was a massive amount of planning. Yeah.
It's being recorded probably, so you want to try to make sure you're by the microphone.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. So that's the first thing, is God is a planner. We see it. We see it in the scriptures. We see it in the cosmos. Some biblical passages. Proverbs has a number of them. If you're taking notes, 15, 22, 16, 1, 3, and 9. This just talks about the wisdom of planning. Luke 14, 28 to 31, Jesus tells a story about a builder who starts to build. They're building a tower, aren't they, if you remember the scriptures. And he gets into the project and hasn't counted the cost, hasn't done any planning, runs out. And Jesus said, that's a foolish builder, because that person did not engage in the planning necessary. So we see some things, although the Bible never uses the term strategic planning, there's a lot in there about it. These are some key thoughts from Peter Drucker. How many have heard of Peter Drucker? Okay, all the business people are here. So Peter Drucker is sort of the father of business management, if you will, or the American father anyway, wrote a lot about it. Strategic planning is a critical leadership function for organizations to understand their purpose, mission, and objectives, and then develop strategies to achieve them. It's not only planning, but it's also understanding purpose, mission, and objectives. Number two, it's a clear vision and strategy that are essential for developing a culture that aligns with business objectives. So it helps us to align culture with objectives. It focuses on what is and what should be, rather than simply reacting to the past. So that's Peter's advice, is don't focus too much on the past. It's important, but it's really what is and what should be that is most important. Use a purposefully opportunistic approach, identifying and capitalizing on emerging opportunities. This focuses on, hey, what's out there for us to be able to take advantage of? Develop SMART goals. You've heard that term: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And then he talks about using the abandonment theory to assess and potentially abandon things that are no longer viable or aligned with one's strategic goals. How many have actually been in an organization where you were in a strategic planning process and you said, we are going to stop doing certain things? Raise your hand if that's happened. Excellent. That's so good. So you're used to this abandonment theory. It's very hard for organizations to do this, but it's absolutely critical, as Drucker says. And then the last one is develop a pattern of activities that seeks to achieve organizational objectives and adapt to environmental changes over the long term. So it's really this idea of a pattern of activities that over time we're adjusting to. Who actually preached about adjustment? That was yesterday? Danny, right? He says it's all about adjusting. If you're on the road and you're driving, you know, you have a plan to get someplace, but you need to adjust based on road conditions. So that's what Drucker also says. Good. Okay, steps in strategic planning. Now, I'm calling this a divinely inspired goal planning model. There are a number of models. I know of at least 8 major strategic planning models. There's one called a PESL. There's one called SOAR. There's a whole bunch of different kinds. I believe that this one fits most organizations. It's best where you're already in existence, and Dove has been in existence for 40 years. So the idea is how do we take what we've got, where we've come from, where we are now, and we go to a new place? And so that's really a goal-based planning model. But I'm adding divinely inspired to it. Now, the 12 strategic processes that I spoke about earlier, being in Christian relief and development organizations, we definitely prayed to the Lord about this plan, but beyond that, we didn't engage the Lord too much, aside from checkpoints maybe along the way. And what I'm presenting on is something I've never actually done, but I'm excited about it, and that is starting with a prophetic presbytery. You know, if we're engaging in planning, and we'll talk about doing a SWOT analysis, a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats analysis, that's what we're going to ask people about. But I really believe it's super important to start with what does God think about the strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats that are before the organization at this time. So that's why I'm saying it's very important to start with a prophetic presbytery. It's actually what is going to happen tomorrow, where Merle, Brian Sauter, and others are coming ready with, you know, what has God spoken over Dove over the past 40 years? What has come to pass? What hasn't yet come to pass? So there's an analysis of what has God already said, and then allowing the prophetic gifts to come forward to say, what is God speaking about Dove now? So that's the first thing, is hearing the voice of the Lord with regards to the future of our organization. The second is gathering and analyzing strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. There's a number of tools that are SWOT-based. I have used most recently now a SurveyMonkey survey, which works very well because SurveyMonkey tracks everybody's input and we can quantify it. So we can ask a lot of closed-ended questions, which will say, well, 84% of the people who responded in Dove believe that this is Dove's greatest strength. And then the same thing with weakness and opportunities and threats. So we can build off of that to say, oh, this is what the organization actually feels about our organization with regards to our internal strengths and weaknesses, and then external opportunities and threats. Number three, develop strategic goals. So out of the prophetic presbytery, out of the SWOT analysis, then we're coming to a point of saying, okay, what are going to be our top two or three goals that we're going to have for the next 5, 10, some people go out as far as 20 years. It's really hard to plan for 20 years, but let's say we're doing 5 years. So over the next 5 years, what are going to be our major goals? And we'll look at some examples. Then, out of that, developing objectives for each goal, set of activities for each objective, outputs and impacts. So really what this is a logical framework which says, you know, we've got this big goal of planting 1,000 new churches by 2030, let's say. And that's great because it's a nice goal, but unless you break it down to, okay, what major objectives do we have and what are our activities going to be, what kind of behavior change or outputs do we need to have, and then impacts to get to that goal. And so that's the fourth step. The fifth is then developing an implementation roadmap. When are we going to do these activities? Where are we going to do them? How are we going to roll them out? When will the outputs occur? And when will we hope to see the outcomes or impacts? Developing a monitoring and evaluation framework and plan. So this is all around how do we monitor whether we're achieving our activities and outputs, our outcomes, and then having a plan for that. And then writing up this full strategic plan. So that is, I'll go back and just allow you to take a look at that again. So I'm going to stop here for a moment and allow you to engage and maybe ask some questions or make some comments. So this is these are the steps that I have used with several organizations in a goal-based planning model. Now, as I said before, the divinely inspired piece with regards to the prophetic presbytery and other steps along the way is a new thing for me, but I'm super excited about that part of it. But any questions or comments on this with regards to developing a strategic plan? Maybe some of these have done it. Yes.
Are you assuming you already have a mission statement and a vision statement, or does that get pulled out?
Yes. Thank you for that. That I'm assuming that here because it's saying aligning existing vision, mission, value statements with these goals, right? So if you don't have those, you know, then you would want to develop those things out of this piece before you go on after that. But really, the important thing is let's say, you know, organizationally, you've been working with the same vision, mission, and values for 40 years. There might be some that you need to tweak as a result of this new strategic plan. You might need to say, well, you know what? We're really now going to do much more church planting and less of this activity. So maybe that changes your vision or mission. Maybe you have to tweak your statement. So I've gone with a couple of organizations where that's been very important. It's hard work because a lot of times people own those statements deeply. Right? But if they're no longer who you are as an organization, or more importantly, where you want to go, then you have to do that hard work of changing them. Yes, Ibrahim.
If you're not doing this for them, you won't have conduct a prophetic presbyter. What would we have there for number one?
Starting with a SWOT analysis. So you would start with that. You start with a survey and focus group and key informant interview. So I'll talk about that a little bit down below, but that's a good question. Thank you. Yes. My experience is, I'm not allowed to walk away from my computer, they're taping this, is number four, the strategic goals, usually you can come up with some goals. Number four is really a hard one because it takes hard work to develop specific indicators to measure your objectives, activities, outputs, and impacts, right? So it takes a lot of hard work. And it becomes... there's a lot there, with regards to how many you develop, particularly if you've got three strategic goals. So that takes the most time. But without that part, organizations generally fail. They just generally say, yeah, we had that goal. We're three years in. We don't have good indicators. We're not measuring it. Therefore, we really even don't know whether we're succeeding or not. Right. So, yeah. I am going to walk you through each, yeah. So one more question from Peter, and then we'll go on. I'm sorry, Vision Mission Values is VMV. Are there other acronyms there? Monitoring and Evaluation. Yeah, sorry. I was trying to fit everything on one page, or one line. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it YAO? YAO? YOA, yes. Yes. It is. Yeah. How about we'll save that and get into it, because we have some examples of all these. I just wanted to stop here, kind of big picture. How's everybody doing? Good. So conducting a prophetic presbytery, as I said before, starting with God's viewpoint. You know this verse, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, right? I guess that's one version of it. So unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. So we want to know, God, what type of house would you like us to build? Is really the question here. So two key inputs for this. The future state is where, when, and how does God want us to go, right? So it's, where does God want Dove to go? When does he want us to go to those places, and how does he want us to go? It's really asking him those questions. And then it's also God's view of, I'm saying our organization, because you should be using this for any organization. You might have foundations, you might in your personal lives, whatever. But it's God's view of our strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats, right? We have our own opinion of what we think they are for our organization. But if we ask the Lord through a prophetic presbytery, we might discover some things that come out through prophetic words about things that we might not even have considered. So an example of this might come out of a prophetic presbytery that is, the Lord wants us to break new ground for the kingdom by establishing new churches in unchurched or underchurched areas. And this goes back to Romans 15. What verse do you think that is? Do you know when Paul was talking about in Romans 15? You guys are all Bible scholars, right? Do you remember he said, I don't want to go where someone else has been. I want to preach the gospel where it has not been preached, right? So that's when he took off for Asia, didn't he? He said, okay, look, there's tons going on in Jerusalem and Judea. God's calling me to Asia where people have not heard the gospel. Joa, I loved your presentation this morning because, I mean, this is really Europe, isn't it? Taking the kingdom to establish new churches in unchurched or underchurched areas. So it doesn't really mean necessarily going to Irian Jaya today. It might mean going to Europe. It might mean going to Belgium. That's just an example, right? That might come out of the prophetic presbytery. So that we're going to follow this line all the way down for our examples. So the next is getting people's viewpoint on strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Remember I said strengths and weaknesses are internal to the organization, And opportunities and threats are things on the outside that we can take advantage of that are good, and we need to be careful of and avoid because they're bad. And that's inside, alongside, and outside the organization. Those three. Gathering and analyzing information on organizational strengths using a combination of a quantitative survey instrument, which we talked about, that would be a SurveyMonkey survey, and qualitative focus group and key informant interviews. So this is getting at qualitative information. Why? We might say, well, we're having this issue or we see this as a strength, but we really need to know why it's a strength or why it's a weakness. So we get together a group of people that can be a focus group for us. Internal to the organization, maybe external to the organization, we want to say, hey, we have these questions we want to ask you. But it's getting at answers to why questions. It's not how much or how many. How many, if we want to know how many people believe this about a strength, we use a quantitative survey. So the example here would be maybe that comes out of a SWOT. These would be the top strengths, the top SWOT. The top strength for us in doing, in planting churches in new areas is that we've got a church planting training school. I'm using this just as an example. It may or may not be Dove. Church plant training school, so that's a great strength. We've already got this school. Well, what's our major weakness? Well, we've got very few current leaders engaged in planting new churches. So we got a training school, but not a lot of people are out doing it. So we've got some sort of a disconnect that we have to deal with, and that's what SWATs help us with. Well, the biggest opportunity we've found is we have a major funder who wants to get behind new church planting initiative. Might be $2 or $3 million grant that someone says, hey, I love your vision here. I'm gonna plant this, you know, if you can commit to planting new churches. And then the biggest threat is that most new areas are openly hostile to Christian evangelism activities. So this example of a SWOT helps us in a lot of different ways. It says, okay, this is our strength, this is a weakness, how do we mitigate here? How do we build on this strength? How do we take advantage of this opportunity? And how do we mitigate against this threat? And we'll see a little bit more of that example going further. The third thing is developing strategic goals. Using the prophetic presbytery outcomes and the data and information from the SWOT, we develop a few key strategic goals that will be the major focus of the organization over a set period of time. We said 5 years, so we'll continue to use that example. Actually, this is 10 years, sorry. So our first goal is, well, we've come together. There's a small group that's working on the development of goals. We've got our first goal, and it's we want to plant 500 new churches in unchurched, under-church areas by 2035. And we want it spread relatively evenly across all our geographic regions where the organization is present. Why do you think that's important, that last part? Spread evenly among regions. Let's say you have let's say you have a region of the world where it's super easy to plant churches, right, and less costly. So you could do all 500 there, and all the other regions of the world aren't doing anything. And then organizationally, you've only succeeded in one small region, not the whole organization. So that's why this group getting together is saying, but we want to make sure we've got church planting going on in every single region where we work. Number four, our objectives and activities. We're not going to get into them. Yoel had a great question there about the difficulty in doing this, but there's a key objectives and indicators development tool, and I tried to get up all this stuff on a drive before I came and didn't. So I will commit to that, and we'll get this all on a drive so you can download these things for yourself, because there's a great tool that you would use. It's like in a spreadsheet format, and it helps you operationalize your indicators, make sure they're smart, have targets, all of those things. So that's what we'd use to develop and create a set of objectives, activity, output, and impact indicators. And then they form the basis of the monitoring and evaluation framework. So here's some examples, though. Well, we want to establish 250 church planters. So let's say we have three objectives for that first goal, right? Remember our first goal? What is it? plant 500 churches by 2035 in underchurched, unchurched areas. So our first objective is, okay, we need to have established church planters out there. That's our most important objective. So we commit to establishing 250 church planters by 2030. So halfway, we want 250 people in place actively working on planting a church. What's our first activity? Well, we're going to conduct 10 church plantation training programs in each of the five regions with an emphasis on responding to current weaknesses and threats. And that's what we're going to do. So we're going to commit to that. So that's our activity. We're going to say, okay, that's our key activity here. What will that lead to? Well, it'll lead to 250 church planters successfully trained and commissioned for church planting service. The impact is that they will be actively engaged in sensitive planting activities in target communities. Now, this impact indicator needs to be operationalized. You need to say, well, what does it mean to be actively engaged? Well, maybe they live in the community. You have a set of criteria that says this is what we want to be happening in order to say that we're doing those things, that we're actively planting in that community. So any questions on that? Because there's a lot there. The organizations that I've worked with, nonprofit organizations, this is the level of detail that we go into in order to be able to come up with a good plan. So any comments on that? Does it feel a little bit overwhelming? How do you feel about it? Yeah, Peter. Yes. That's a budget. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's actually part of the implementation plan is the budget that comes in there. Yes. You have some? Yes. You'll see. Correct, right. You're going to have a lot of startup costs, aren't you? Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah, so usually what you have to find for a lot of strategic plans that are very aggressive is you've got to find some major donors who, through a capital campaign or something else, saying, yeah, we're willing to invest. It's like in the for-profit world, it's called a business plan, right? And so the investors come to your meeting, and you pitch them on a business plan. And if they see that business plan and they like it, and they see a lot of profit at the end, they say, okay, I'll invest $1 million, I'll invest $2 million. So, that's the for-profit world. The nonprofit world doesn't necessarily work like that, but the principles are the same. You go in front of a donor, and if they say, well, tell me as a movement where you want to be 10 years from now and how you're going to get there. And if you can show them this, they're much more likely to say, wow, okay, I want to get behind that. So that's the budget piece. Yeah, Ricky.
I just would like to go back on the prophetic presbytery.
Yeah.
Because I understand the process of strategic planning, it's a process,
That's a good question. I would say on a prophetic presbytery, you want a whole bunch of different people. Maybe some of them would know about strategic planning, others wouldn't. The most important thing is that the vast majority should know the organization, be part of it, have a vested interest. But you would want some outsiders if possible. The most important thing is that they have the gift of prophecy and they're known for actually being prophetic in ways that that God accomplishes what they said that God was going to do. Yeah, that's the most important thing for this one. Which is very different from the secular world, right? This doesn't happen in a secular organization or a business. It doesn't. Okay. Develop an implementation roadmap. And sorry, I did forget to put budget in here. Thank you, Peter. A budget goes into here also, which will lay out the milestones and timelines for the implementation. What will be accomplished, how it will be accomplished, by when, by whom, and for how much, I will add that, and any other additional pertinent information. So this really sort of lays out, what's going to happen in year one, what's going to happen 2, 3, 4, 5. Interestingly enough, and studies have shown that organizations generally grossly overestimate what they can accomplish in the first year of their strategic plan and grossly underestimate what they can accomplish in the rest of the years following. So that's the thing that says, okay, we should be more conservative in year one, not be so aspirational, and because we get this accumulating effect, then we should put more of our results in the out years. Yes?
Is there any advantage to bringing it down even further and doing not just a yearly kind of concept whenever you're doing a 5 or 10 year goal versus a quarterly or semi-annually or something like that?
Yes, you have to go down. I mean, the strategic plans that I've been involved in are at least doing quarterly, particularly for the first 2 years. And then sometimes they'll just put annual after that with the recognition that as they're making adjustments over those first 2 years, they need to have a detailed implementation plan. So this is more of not so much a detailed implementation plan as it's general, but the detailed one comes and has to come after, yeah. Okay, monitoring and evaluation plan. It's really a formal write-up of the key objectives, indicators, targets, and timelines within an agreed-upon monitoring and evaluation framework and plan. There are many templates out there. I'll put it on that drive so you can find some. But it's really around, you know, who's going to do what when, who's responsible, any sort of comments there that have to be measured also as part of this. So that's number 6, and then number 7 is just writing up the full plan that includes an executive summary, implementation roadmap, and a monitoring evaluation framework and plan. So that is the process. Any questions? And then I'm going to go into just sort of overview for you what I think the SP process is going to look like for Dove International. But before we do that, any questions about the kind of the framework? Yes. Yes, I can, and I should have had it on my drive so I could just give you things up here, QR codes, but I ran out of time. But yes, I can share a whole bunch of things and put that on a drive folder somewhere where you all can access it. I'll work on I'll work on that. But yes, there's a lot of tools out there. I'm not actually showing you tools here just because I didn't want to take up a ton of time showing tools, but they're all out there, and I'd be happy to share them. Yeah.
Dave, what would you say, obviously you've done this from a nonprofit standpoint, what do you think are going to be the biggest challenges maybe this into like a community church standpoint? Just because obviously community church a little different than a typical organization.
Yeah.
So just in your experience, what do you think will be maybe the harder areas to hone in on for a church?
I think for a church, you know, an organization generally has paid staff, right? Thank you so much. Yeah. This is terrible standing behind this mic. Anyway, glue myself here. An organization generally has paid staff. So you just tell people, this is your role, this is what you need to do. You know, we're part of a strategic planning process. You need to show up, you need to participate. A church has, everybody's a volunteer, right? And they can vote with their feet and all of that. So, but obviously the staff, where you've got a number of staff, the staff are gonna play a big role. I would say, David, that all these steps are still the same for a small community church. You know, I mean, you wouldn't have to go into the level of depth, but yeah, the community church needs to have strategic objectives for how it's going to serve its members, how it's going to reach out to the population around it, what it's going to do for evangelism, all kinds of things, right? And then it really needs to have a plan to walk that out. What are our activities? How do we get, you know, it really is the same. Yeah. You're just probably dealing with more volunteers to help carry the load.
One question. So just from a staff perspective, typically you probably would not involve everybody.
Right,
staff.
Right.
And in business, it would be the executives or
correct.
Department heads or something like that. How would you see that within a community church organization?
Yeah, so an organization, and even I think this is what's going to happen with Dove, is the best opportunity to get input from anybody who wants to give input is through the survey, right? It goes, it, you know, Merle wants to try to get it out to everybody who's got an email address. It's thousands of people. I hope we can make it happen because they're all the language translation pieces. And SurveyMonkey, the version we're going to be using is 14 languages it translates into, but we're still missing a few in India and other places, Myanmar. To answer your question, that's the biggest piece. And then it really, you know, in focus groups, you would want to go down to a different level, not just leaders. But I'd say the folks working on the strategic goals, even, you know, working on activities and operationalizing, those are the people who are going to really drive the plan after it's done. So it's going to be leadership and maybe the next level down. But I would say wherever you can go down and even randomly just pull people up, community church members, you know, you're not a leader in this church, but you're a faithful attender of Sunday service. We want you to be part of a focus group that answers some of these why questions that we have.
Question. Hmm. In the business realm, secular realm, you have to look at your customer.
Yes.
You know, even if your product's good or not good, whatever, you have to look at your customer. How does that fit? Would you describe that in your system in terms of, you know, it's great to say church planning, strategic city, that's great, but if you don't know the culture, that could crush you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That could be really a defining moment if you don't understand the culture.
Yeah.
How would that fit into your model?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I would say that you're absolutely right, is, you know, a lot of businesses, when they're coming up with their business plan, they do a marketing study, right? Because they need to go out there and find out, are people going to buy this product that they're selling? It's harder to do that in a church setting, and even in an NGO setting. An NGO setting that's doing mercy ministry, some people call it, relief and development, we used to call it. You know, it's really hard to go into communities and say, hey, if we came in here and helped you hypothetically get water and health and all that, how would you feel about that? Number one, they're going to say, that's awesome, right? Please come, because they're not paying for it. If we're doing it in DR Congo, for example, they're not paying for it. Somebody else is paying for it. So there's two customers. There's the person that's using it, and it's the donor, whoever's paying for it. So. But I think the degree to which you can get some of that information is really, really helpful. Yeah, but it's not as easy as doing a marketing study, because you really can't go in and say, how would you feel if we planted a church in your community and, you know, they're hostile to the gospel and you don't even know if you're going to go into that community. It's harder to do that with church activities, I think. But you know, that's where you're relying on teams that are on the ground, or maybe, you know, let's just say, for example, there's going to be some sort of a strategic goal to invest in Europe, right? So everybody on the European team, you guys are going to be front and center for this is what we know, right, with regards to the strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats of doing this here in this culture, in this region, right? And so we're relying on their knowledge of people that they've been talking to and relating to. Okay, process for Dove, and then we're going to do a really quick, you guys are going to be able to practice this a tiny bit. So we're going to start with the prophetic presbytery this Thursday. We'd ask for your prayers for that tomorrow, I guess it is. It's going to be, yeah, Lord come, is what I'm saying. That's followed by a SWOT survey sent to as many Dove members, partners, and associates as possible via SurveyMonkey, and as a goal of a finished strategic plan by the end of this year. So these are really broad strokes. There's a lot there. You know, you say, well, it's 8 months, 9 months, isn't that long? It is long, but it's this stuff takes time, and, you know, hopefully we finish at the end of the year. Okay, questions and answers, and then we're going to break up into small groups. I'm only going to take like two questions at the end here because we've done quite a few, and then I want to quickly break you up into groups for like 10 minutes, if I may. Okay, no, yes.
Based on your experience, what do you think is the greatest failure or a lot of people that support accomplish that goal?
By making it overly complex, the planning process, if it becomes too complex, now you're probably saying this is super complex, but I'm trying to boil it down to something that's not that complex. So there are strategic planning processes I've seen that are very, very complex and have way too many moving parts and way too many people involved in them. So some of them have failed because they don't even get to the end line. They actually abandon the process before they have a plan. The second thing is a lot of organizations get a plan, as I said before. They're tired from having done the plan. They actually start in their mind to think that the plan itself is the goal, the achievement of the goal. So the implementation part, they feel like they've already done it. So they have a hard time implementing. Those are the two main things I've seen.